Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Christian and the Riches. Chapter 5. Ways in which the deceitfulness of riches seeks to operate. Topic: H. Attempts to use earthly things for the acquisition of heavenly things. Part 3: The practice of human works. Continuing in this new point yet with the final part of the previous topic, also as a third example about the attempt to buy the gift of God through earthly aspects, we highlight once again the importance of understanding the order of life functioning according to the grace of the Lord and not only according to the works that people practice or accomplish. That is, if human beings cannot transform money, goods, and godliness into a bargaining chip to obtain the gift of God, could a set of human accomplishments or works that people call good serve as this so longed for bargaining chip? And the answer also here again is, no. Therefore, following a predetermined set of rules and carrying out external or materially tangible works that human beings practice or perform is also not the reason why God bestows heavenly gifts upon them. A subject broadly addressed in the themes: the gospel of the righteousness of God, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ, and on works, labors, and services. Faith in God, trust in the Lord, faith in the justification provided to us in Christ Jesus, and the life guided in righteousness by the Holy Spirit result in good works, but not before God also grants, by grace, the provision for his children to do the works of the Lord. In God, a person is already blessed in him even before starting good works and is blessed by the Spirit of the Lord for the accomplishment of good works, and human works are not the source that causes the Lord's favor towards a person, as we briefly recall in the texts below. Romans 4, 6. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Galatians 3, 1-14. O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you: did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain? Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, In you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Therefore, in addition to the example, 1, of trying to buy God's gift with money or, 2, obtaining it by greedy godliness, also as regards the aspect, 3, of someone wanting to achieve God's favor through the works of the law or the idea that the performance of good works is what qualifies them to require gifts from God, we can see that the deceitfulness of riches, by various means, despises what is offered by the Lord to people through his eternal grace. The deceitfulness or fascination of riches, also represented in the Scriptures as thorns, aims to choke the will of God in people's hearts and wants to entangle them in their tricks and iniquities, repeatedly proposing that people, in one way or another, should strive, work, or make offerings to deserve God's grace. If, however, grace had to be given by merit, it would no longer be heavenly grace. So, highlighting this point once again, the heavenly gift so desired, and through which the other gifts are manifested, is not sold or exchanged, but is freely given to those who believe in the Lord and humbly ask the Heavenly Father for it, as one more text below shows us. Luke 11:11-13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Finally, given the above, some people may still question the reason for God's grace, then, also not continue to be poured out without restrictions on those who do not live a life of godliness and humility, and who, on the contrary, indulge in pride or the attempt to buy the Lord's gift by works. That is, some people might question whether the fact that grace is not bestowed by purchase or through the exchange of works does not indicate an incoherent condition regarding the aspect that grace does not need to be earned or deserved. For this reason, we still consider it necessary to recapitulate the point that the Lord's grace, which bestows salvation and gifts, is offered to everyone and without people having obtained the right to it through good practices. Grace is available to all people on earth, as we saw earlier. And grace is offered precisely to those who do not deserve it and even owe the Lord huge and unpayable eternal debts. Nevertheless, heavenly grace is not given to sponsor and sustain sin and unrighteousness, and the Lord restricts the bestowal of His grace when a person wants the divine gift not for good, but to use God's gifts in one's greed and evil lusts. Thus, no person becomes worthy of grace by good works, but, on the other hand, a person can place obstructions to the Lord's grace when one oneself creates obstacles to the manifestation of heavenly grace towards one's life, as we can see once again in the text below. James 4:1-9. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Heavenly grace is offered to sinners not under some commercial price, which, on the other hand, does not mean that it is not given for a purpose, which, firstly, aims to cooperate so that sinners can be freed from subjection to sin. However, if they do not want grace for the purpose for which it is offered, they are the ones who do not give space for grace to work in their favor, and so they do not see the manifestation of grace working in them and changing their lives. Concluding this topic, we understand, then, that when a person asks God for something one needs that is for one's good and to have the provision to walk according to the righteousness of God, the Lord freely grants it not for the exchange of money, of previous devotion, or works previously done, but because of the person's inclination to receive the favor of God according to the purpose of the bestowal of grace. If, however, an individual wants the Lord to sponsor and support one's evil practice, it is not the attempt to buy the Lord's favor through goods, devotion, and works that will cause God to abandon his position in truth and eternal righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:8-11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God.